This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 314 of the Countdown Podcast, where we celebrate when movies disappoint. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today's topic, as Wayne has alluded, is the top 10 sequels.
That shat the bed.
But so we can't say that on Apple Podcasts.
Can we just use an at? No. Really?
The top 10 sequels that derailed the franchise.
Okay, I'm going to put shat in our in our
The card you can.
The card I can do, right? Yeah,
you can do whatever you want there, but you cannot. We have to officially be calling it films that derail the franchise.
Fair enough.
Yes, so it's pretty straightforward, and of course we'll be getting to shit all over films that have shat all over franchises, so it feels like it's very appropriate in that particular way.
Big disappointments here and there, like, oh, that could have been good, but then you made this movie.
Yeah, and did you come at this list in a particular way? Because I had so many contenders.
You could do the thing where, like, sometimes it's like, oh, is it higher on the list if you were really looking forward to it and it's like big hairy balls,
right?
Or did it kill the franchise mostly and that went to the top of the list, you mean? Like, the one that stopped it did. So, you know. But either way, we just banter, so it's fun.
I think the hardest thing about this was the ordering, as well as what I was going to leave off, because there should have been 15 films on this list, no doubt.
I also have a couple of, like, there's some low-hanging fruit here and there, but I do have interesting things to maybe talk about with them. They're obvious choices, but they have to be there. So
I left out a couple of obvious ones.
Thinking, I almost called you and said, do you want to retire this one and this one?
Yeah.
Just because we know, but I think we can still talk on it.
Right, we will see in due course. In fact, we'll see straight after the segment which kicks off every show, a segment that we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recap?
Who
wants a recap?
The recount, where we saw what happened last week, Paul.
Well, we only got one bit of feedback, really, and that is to cover the poll result from last week's episode 313, the top 10 who had the superior list of conversation-starting films,
right,
thanks to top-level patron Luigi Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, so I'm leading 5-4-1.
I can tell from your face that you won.
I did win. Hooray!
Yeah, I thought so. I haven't seen it, but yeah,
6-4-1. 36 votes to 22 at the time of recording.
Ooh,
so
it's pretty standard.
That's a win. It's not like a spanking or anything along those lines. Now, Amanda Waddle said, my vote goes to Paul because of the book club comment.
I should mention, I saw that comment and there was a wink or a smiley face or something at the end, or a laugh something.
Laugh.
There's a laugh.
Laugh.
So it's okay. It's okay, people.
So Wayne trying to suggest that every woman is in a book club.
By the way, she was. I checked and says, what are you guys covering this week? She's like, this one.
That said, Melissa Sack, who said she's not in a book club, but she does a podcast about books.
Transcendent.
Yeah, said, I have to vote Wayne because of my hatred for Titanic. And yeah, I'm not in a book club. I host a book podcast. So there we are. Josh Ragland said, Wayne had too many that I hadn't heard of, so Paul gets the vote from me, which I guess is fair. Starting films. Erica San Pedro said, vote to Paul because there's more on his list that I've seen. Dear Wayne, I'm not in a book club, but probably should be. I did read Gone Girl way before the movie was out on recommendation from female friends.
You know, that is a book club. It's just not formal.
What?
And I love that you're doing that. So that's great.
Catherine Goods said, Wayne gets the vote. His ochre accent balanced out book club comments. So Paul loses because of the Titanic hate.
Hey, I'll take it.
There we go. And lastly then, this one I thought was very funny as well. Laurie Miller said, this episode made me want to start a book club with a stipulation that Wayne has to choose all of our titles.
You know what? I'm in. I am totally in.
I would make members sign a waiver so that I'm not held responsible for the content.
Are you kidding me? Get ready for a shit ton of graphic novels.
So there we are, 6-4-1 on the year. We'll see who comes out Trump's next week on.
I didn't see all those book club comments. So, this is awesome. This is
largely awesome. That was what it was all about. Forget the conversation starting films. Apparently, we should have been the book club starting conversations.
Oh, good stuff. Great, great. Great work.
All right, then. On the other side of this promo for the live stream for a cure, we'll be back with, it's a somber thing, live stream for a cure in some ways, raising money against cancer, which I'll be on in a few segments in May. But we'll come out of it with the same kind of energy. So it might seem a bit weird, but we're doing it anyway because we're supporting a good cause.
Hopeful rocks.
My name is Nicholas Haskins, and I'd like a moment of your time to tell you about the 5th annual live stream for The Cure. To do that, I brought along two people whom I couldn't do this event without. Gerald Morris, and Dan Brennick.
Over the past 4 years, the live stream for The Cure has raised over $30,000 for the Cancer Research Institute.
That contribution is helping to fund research into cancer immunotherapy, training the body's immune system to fight all forms of cancer.
This year, we're aiming for our biggest goal yet as we try to raise $15,000 in 50 hours on the air.
Tune in May 19th through the 23rd as we're joined live by podcasters and content creators from around the world.
With your help, we can continue the fight for a future immune to cancer.
Together, we can make a difference.
The top 10 sequels that shat the bed.
Shat the bed.
Or, what was the other thing I said? Derailed the franchise.
Say shat the bed. motherfucker.
Just wants to have
it's radio.
Shat in the title it's, of a podcast. Don't lie.
Better title. It's a more punchy title, ironically.
Bitch, please.
Sometimes you punch out of shit.
I got it. I'm glad you explained it because that's in the vernacular of our group.
It is true, yes.
Not necessarily the world in general. Right. All right, we've already had a discussion about how we're going to go out this. Wayne, lead us away straight into it then.
Word.
Your 10th biggest shitting of the
best. As chat bidding. Okay, no problem. Paul, do you remember 2000, that year? It still felt like the 90s and Matthew Perry was Chandler Bing.
Oh, God, I don't know which one this one is.
Oh, yeah, dude. Now, there was a movie that I loved. It was called The Whole Nine Yards, okay? And it had like the hot chick from like motherfucking Species in it, Natasha Henstridge.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis, no one hated him yet. Very, very cool. And he's playing a hitman.
That freight train was coming.
That's right. But he's playing a hitman that befriends like a suburban dad type dude, and he's a dentist and that kind of shit. And it was hilarious. I loved it. Ving Rhames is in it. Fantastic. Then they come up with this piece of shit in 2003, The Whole 10 Yards. I actually do like that title, and that is where everything stops. This entire movie is such a piece of shit that it literally, one, laugh-free. There is zero laughs in the whole movie, right?
Which is a problem for a comedy.
Huge problem. And this is what they decided to do. And I can't, like, if you watch this thing, like, it's just pratfall after pratfall after pratfall. Matthew Perry is just, he's not even saying funny shit. He's not being funny. He's just stumbling. And they literally, I reckon there's about 80. There's 80 pratfalls in this film purely from Matthew Perry.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. And literally after
physical
like...
physical comedy expert Matthew Perry.
Bro, after like two... Maybe like the third or fourth one, you notice that it's a pratfall, and then there's a million, and after a while, it becomes sickening, man. There's zero laughs on this one, so I hated this very much, and there was no whole 11 years after this, because everything. So,
right.
But it was really horrendously bad.
That's a really good point, though, that some of the films on my list aren't the last that you'll ever hear
in this
franchise.
Because they can recover, or at least
or go
again.
In a different direction,
yes.
Which is the case in, or a big gap between them. Anyway, my number 10 is a second film in what might have been a franchise, which never saw light of day again after this. Do you remember the genre redefining The Blair Witch Project?
Oh my God. No.
Right.
Dude, this is on my list. Holy shit.
About a year or so later, they made Book of Shadows, : Blair Witch 2, directed by household name Joe Bellinger. And did you know this film starred Jeffrey Donovan?
Only when I looked it up, I was like, hey, that's Burn Notice. Burn Notice is in his.
So here's an idea. And this the premise alone kind of works.
Agreed.
A bunch of young people get fascinated with the story of Josh and Heather and the other dude. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, but they know that it's a fake movie. Isn't that the premise of this film is that these kids who get together are actually discussing the ideology of... Yeah, well, they're saying it's more supposed to be an exploration on why society believes the film world over reality. That's what the idea on the page was, and it turned into this. Like, it's go on.
No, please.
It's I think this may be the worst film I've ever seen. That's right. This may be that film. When I looked at it and went, "What is this piece of shit?" It is just people talking shit about. They're sitting around a campfire and going, well, why does society do this? And why does they eat a dick do that? And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And nothing is left to the imagination. And at the end, there's a series of bullshit reveals, which are just, none of that shit makes sense. Why did you even do this?
That was the big thing. This film didn't make any sense. And perhaps the most nonsensical decision of all was, let's take the most groundbreaking, genre redefining, like I said, found footage horror film.
Yeah.
You know, this made found footage a thing. And to be honest, we're still dealing with the fallout of it 20 years later. And then let's not do that. Let's just make it a traditionally shot third person fucking horror film. Why would you do this?
Do you know what? Like, this is a funny thing, right? I kind of, if you think about the pitch meeting, all right? Before any of you seen any of the movies, right? And someone says to you, hey, we got to do a Blair Witch sequel because you can't not capitalize on this type of...
because it was an absolute jet in terms of money.
And if you're the Blair Witch guy, you're like, I'm selling the fuck out of this to any studio that's going to buy my next house, right? Yep. So you do that. And so now they go, okay, let's get in the room. How are we going to do this? Are you just going to do another found footage film? But then some, you know, sort of upstart director goes, no, I got an idea. Why don't we do this? It's a meta movie.
Stop. Thank you, young director.
No, you don't see my vision.
We've decided to go in a different direction.
Get off me, man. Get off me. Hey, why security here? It's like that, all right?
Exactly. Except it didn't go the way that it should have.
But do you think, though, that the executive who signed off on it maybe could have been a visionary to say, yeah, let's
not
do the thing everyone expects?
The executive who signed off on this film didn't get another gig.
It's so weird that did it make money? I've got the stuff.
I doubt it. This was panned across the board. Everyone fucking hated it.
God, it's 14% critic score.
Most importantly, there was never. Okay, there was a Blair Witch reboot in 2016.
Was there? What did they do?
They showed you the Blair Witch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was also a traditional sort of third person horror. I think from vague memory, and it was only 5 years ago that I watched it, but. That they kind of cut to some camera footage, but it was kind of a mixture between the two.
You know what, though? Think about it.
It was infinitely better than this piece of shit.
Was really?
Yeah. Because it goes back to the formula of the first one.
But you can't go to it. Like, if you're trying to do Blair Witch 2 and then you do all found footage, that's kind of old hat. You can't. How are you going to sell that? Easily. Oh, we found some more tapes and we're going to call it Blair Witch 2?
Easily. You would have a group of young documentarians going in to follow in Heather and Co. to find out what happened to them. There's your story. And they're filming themselves again. It didn't need to be any more complicated than that. It might not have made the money that Blair Witch did. It could have evoked the same level of dread and whatever else and ramped it up because you've learnt the lessons from what was a zero-budget film. Mm. Now let's throw $5 million at it maybe even $10 million at it, and let's see what now can be done with it.
I heard that the director actually talks and addresses this, and he says, this movie was taken away from me by whoever.
He did. Like, apparently that is
I had
the
a
story.
Whole different idea.
Yep.
So, who knows?
So even
who
more knows? So, the studio exec who fucking backed this is gone, and we're never going to see them again.
Yeah.
All right, that's my 10. Blair, we'll see how high it is in Wayne's list. Book of Shadows.
Good call. My number 9, everyone, is Superman IV, The Quest for Peace.
No!
Really?
No, sorry. No. No.
All right, people.
No.
I just talked about the 2000s. Oh my god, what an asshole.
No.
This is not what they had in mind, Paul. Now, late 1980s I'm talking about now. This is an interesting time. We're coming out of the Cold War. The big theme of the day was nuclear holocaust. We were all afraid we would be terminated, okay, by some big-ass bomb, and that's how it was. So what do they do with Superman 4 after that Superman 3 wing, which I didn't mind. That had Gus Gorman. That had Richard Pryor.
This is the reason not higher on my list, not higher than on your list.
Yeah.
Is arguably this series' franchise-killing moment was Superman 3.
No, see, I had no problem with Superman 3. They did Bizarro in Superman 3. There was a badass Superman version. And all of this, look, it was a bit weird with the computer scam with all the half cents and that sort of shit. But
Richard Pryor-ness.
Richard Pryor's Richard Pryor, man. He was fine.
It just doesn't belong in this movie.
I had a good time. I remember collecting the trading cards of this movie. I was really excited when it came out. Yeah. Because they came in packs of bubblegum or some shit.
We've had a lot of sad moments on this show. A lot. In 314 episodes. But you may have just taken the cake, my friend.
Dude, if I still had those things, they'd be worth $0. I absolutely adored it. And also, Lana Lang was in it. And you know I like redheads. So I'm just saying, right? She was in the first one too, but she was actually... Anyway, point is, right? Number 4, okay? I found out why this... First of all, number 4 is such a piece of shit.
It didn't even have fucking trading cards.
It had no trading cards. I saw zero promo on this one. And you know why? They budgeted...
Cannon film.
They cut budget on this thing. It was... The bad guy was a guy named Nuclear Motherfucking Man, all right? And he was shit. And you could tell that the actual shots of Ryu flying, there was no air ram, all right? Or most of the shots were repurposed fucking green screen. On a fucking Hollywood movie, it made $15.6 million and cost $17 million to make. Sorry,
yeah,
and
in the fucking 80s.
In the 80s,
you know, off of one of the most, well, not most successful, but one of the biggest franchises.
It's Superman, bro. Yep. It had more than that. So what? And what ended up happening in this film, right? Is this is the biggest sticking point, right? There's one scene where fucking Superman is flying past, like he's chasing Nuclear Man. They can both fly, all right. And yes, they end up having this really shitty fight on the moon, right? But this is the real bit. They're flying around Earth, and Nuclear Man just destroys everything he sees. And one of the things he sees is the Great Wall of China. and he goes and kaboom, blows it up, right? In the actual movie, like, script, Superman was going to use his super speed to rebuild the wall and then keep chasing him. But they didn't have money for that shit. So instead, he had repair vision. He just looks at it and goes, and fucking rebuild. They were like, what the fuck? Such a piece of shit, yeah. This film. Even Christopher Reeves has a bag of ass.
Yeah, the reason that I put it so low on my list, although I felt it had to be mentioned, I wasn't sure it would be on yours.
Mm.
But, well, again, I say relatively low, is... I've not watched it again since then.
I've watched it 3 times.
Wow. So I couldn't give it its due diligence or where it should be. So it felt like it's about where it falls on my list, which is not too far away. But
totally. This is a true story. One of the first or second times I saw it, I was in hospital as like a 15-year-old, right? I was just like, well, I can't remember what I was doing, having done, right? But the orderly who's like leaning over my bed, it's on the TV behind him, like that I'm looking at. And he looks over. He just happens to look over at the bit where Superman's rebuilding the wall by looking at it. And he looks at me and goes, what a wanker. So yeah, this thing is a piece of shit, boy.
Nice. I think you might have told that story before. That's funny.
Funny story.
My number 9 was the worst film of the year that I saw it in. And again, the reason it's lower is you could argue that 2 could be the moment this franchise was derailed / shat the bed, but it gets so much worse than 3. Taken 3 in 2014, directed by Olivia Megaton. Liam Neeson, if it takes you 4 fucking edits to jump a fence, stop doing these films.
Do you remember what happened with Neeson during this time? He did Taken. No one expected it to be good, and it was awesome.
It was amazing.
It was awesome.
It was the only look. I think it was Luc Besson who directed that one. If not, he definitely wrote it.
Really?
Yeah.
So cool.
I get the feeling maybe he didn't direct it because I don't like many Luc Besson films. But
that's true.
It got through the keeper, this one. I'm like, oh, that was a good film.
No, Taken was great, and we expected nothing. So then Liam signs this 5-picture deal where all he does is badass old cunt movies, right? So there was one called Nonstop that was actually good, but that was one of...
Those ones are all, generally speaking, okay. So the first one was directed by Pierre Morel.
Hmm.
The next two... Taken 2 and Taken 3, Olivia Megaton.
Okay.
Taken 3, it's just...
I never saw it. You told me about it.
Oh, my God. I watched it on a plane and it fucking sucked. Do you know how bad a film has to be on your little tiny fucking screen on the back of the chair in front of you or pop up out of...
You're a captive audience.
And it's still... I would rather have been playing chess against the fucking computer...
Dear God.
...than watch that film. It was just horrendous from go to woe.
Is this the one where he... was blowing up parts of the city to show people where he was? Is that the plot was? He's trying to triangulate with explosions.
No, it's the it could be that one, or is that number 2? I forget.
That's the thing.
The
you
two of them
know.
Melt together a little bit, but this one's got Dougray Scott as the bad guy.
Ah, Dougray Scott.
Yeah. And Famke Jensen meets her end in this particular film as well. They kill her off.
I haven't seen this one, and that's what they. I do remember, like you telling me that. Yeah,
it's so terrible. Mainly for how ineptly filmed it is, how terrible the plot is, and then. Sadly, even 7 years ago, how out of sorts Liam Neeson is in this type of film.
Poor Dougray Scott. This guy has had a bit of bad luck. He was going to be Wolverine, but then he decided to do Mission Impossible 2, which is a piece of shit.
Which would have made
could have been on these lists.
It but isn't. Didn't because...
The franchise has flourished.
He bounced back and done absolutely. Really well. So absolutely. That's why I left it off.
Yep. Then he goes and does this. So yeah, now, what are you going to do?
Yeah, as you say, poor Dougray. I mean, he was already settled with that name, so he's probably done better than he expected.
Hey, if Kiefer Sutherland can make it with that name, Dougray can make it with that name. All right. My number 8 is Glass. Because
honorable mention.
Jesus. All right, so everyone, Split. Unbreakable, first of all, fantastic. Didn't know it was about, like, you know, motherfucking comics and shit. You know, a nerd like me is like, oh, what's up, dog? And then I forget about it. Split turns up and it's a surprise sequel to Unbreakable, and it was a good movie.
I liked Split.
Very
surprising. As much as there was some plot mechanics that don't work with just the girls to do the dumb things they do to stay in the place that they are.
Yes.
But other than that,
but James still made Banks, extremely
James McAvoy,
well.
Amazing performance.
Amazing, right?
And the surprise reveal that there was...
Which is
name? Bruce Willis?
Yeah, Bruce Willis. Yeah, that guy.
But, which is a problem, isn't it?
David.
He's doing better than me. I think he's David.
Yep. Yeah, something. Anyway, but that was the thing. Like, even because in the Unbreakable, like M. Night was doing his look at the fucking surprise ending, and it was successful in that film, right? With the Sam Jackson of it all. Second one, he actually does a successful. Oh my God! It's a surprise. It's from Unbreakable. Really
We're in
cool.
The same universe.
So now you go to Glass, and it's like, what is he gonna pull out for Glass? A piece of shit. Is what he's going to pull out for Glass. No spoil, fuck it, spoilers here, all right? The hero dies by drowning in a puddle.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And can we not do so? And it was in a fucking parking lot.
Boring as fuck.
Such a piece of shit.
Boring as fuck. And just all the promise of Split was just completely...
A bag of balls, people. Yeah. It was a bag of balls. So, I mean, yeah, Glass is us. That's my number 8.
Can't argue at all. That's a good choice. My number 8 is probably one of the low-hanging fruit pieces. Call it a complete change in the direction of the franchise. They rebooted it again a few years later. The director didn't want to do it. The studio made him do it. They forced the studio notes on it to bring in extra villains.
Mm.
It is garbage big time. And look, I need to go back and watch the second one of these films because I didn't love it the way everyone else does. And I've got it there to watch. I haven't got around to it.
What are we talking about?
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, that was an honorable mention for me as well.
Yeah. It's just...
I know what you got a problem with.
Well, I have a problem with many pieces of this film. In particular... Look, I don't really like Tobey Maguire anyway.
No, we don't.
But...
Well, back then we didn't know any better. Yeah. For all we knew, he wasn't a
cunt. But to turn him into a complete douchebag as a result of Venom, just...
All right, what's weird about this is you're talking about the dancing scene, aren't you?
Yeah,
that's an aspect of it, all right? Yeah. Now, if you look at that scene again, right, it's kind of weird because he goes into the shop, he comes out in a suit, and he starts doing that fucking Supremes roly-poly arm dancing, right?
That's exactly the way I dance.
Who doesn't? Every day, yep. Absolutely. But he does it and dances on trade tables and shit like that. Now, if you look at that scene, half the women that see him are impressed and half are like, who's that dick? It's really weird. It's played oddly.
In other words, once again, the notes, the script, the direction missed the note because everyone should be looking at him. What a fuckwit.
Well,
that's the way the entire audience looked at him.
That's the thing. But then if they had done that, the scene wouldn't have worked because now you don't take badass Peter Parker seriously.
Anyone take Peter Parker seriously?
I think he was supposed to because it was venom up his dick. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he's supposed to be a threat. And if it's
that's the point. Doesn't work.
But some women need to... Yeah, it definitely doesn't work. But on the film, it's... But that's an odd note to play. Do you know what I mean? I think I actually don't mind the fact...
This film is odd note from beginning to end.
Well, if...
Fucking
if everyone
in the first 10 seconds and don't see him again until the end of the film?
Oh, well... It's also
No, I'm mixing up with it.
Well, Spider-Man that was, too. I mean, you know the story behind this, right? Sam Raimi was forced to keep putting fucking bad guys in. Yeah, so he had to put Sandman in Sandman, and fucking this. Right. And it's like, you just crowbarred on and shit like that. And also, you know, Eric from That 70s Show being Venom was just, I don't know if it was an interesting or not an interesting choice.
Topher Grace.
Yeah, Topher Grace. But I mean, it's too long as well, I'll tell you that. It's really too long.
It's a terrible film, and even Sam Raimi hates it. So,
Do you remember the trailer though, where him and MJ were lying on a web in like they're just kind of hey, what's up, looking at the stars? I actually thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, hey, you can spin a web and do whatever you want. Other people can't do that. That's a date.
I've got three rules about dating superhero.
Right,
and all of them revolve around if you're a fucking spider person, you're not getting anywhere.
Oh
near
my god, Paul's dick would be off limits to spider related women and men.
Yes,
so.
Any and all of the above.
Wow, you can't just chase that person out with a rolled up newspaper.
Yeah, anyway, that's my number 8, Spider-Man 3.
Very nice. People, my number 7 is fucking Zoolander 2.
Yeah, on my honorable mentions.
Remember that piece of shit?
I do, and we reviewed it for the show. It's way back in one of the lost episodes, I think, or maybe it's still out there, I don't know, because before episode 4, the only way place you can find the episodes is on the Patreon feed. Mm. After that, you can, if you troll back far enough through the website, you can find every episode of the show, the Countdown podcast through Podbean website.
This is such a... Zoolander itself became like a cult hit, I think, after a while. I think
Zoolander
is huge, right? And it had great ideas.
It was
Will
Ben
Ferrell.
Stiller at his peak. It was probably Will Ferrell at his peak.
Yeah. This thing comes...
Owen Wilson as well. Very funny.
Absolutely. And I like Owen Wilson. Wow. All right. But a year before this movie even came out, they were doing little publicity stunts. Like, there was an actual, like, the Milan fashion show or whatever. These two came out. Like, Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson came out as Hansel and fucking, what's his name, Zoolander. And they did the show, and they were like, oh my god, what's going on? And it was really quite exciting. I thought, oh my god, are they doing a sequel to Zoolander? Because if you didn't know it was going to be this, you'd be quite excited. And I was. And then I go to see it, and I don't understand. Penelope Cruz is in it. It's a bag of shit. It's 15 years off the original. They're talking about...
It's not fucking funny.
It's not funny. That's the big problem.
It has passed its time. It was lightning in a bottle. And that there are so many of these particular legacy calls like this one. We left it too long. The magic is gone.
But surely there's a way of writing this so
it's
it works.
Not Lethal Weapon 4. The magic is not back again.
Deep cuts.
Right?
But like, I think Ben Stiller even said, like, you know, everyone wants a sequel till they get it. I'm like, yeah, if it's a good one, you can't. So it was just funny.
I don't know if there was anybody out there in the world post 2006 going, Zoolander 2 needs to have a sequel. It needs to happen now. Zoolander, the sequel.
I maybe never said that, but someone said to me, hey, Zoolander's coming out again. I'm like, I'll watch that shit.
Yeah.
I was into it, man.
There was no, it's not like fucking pick any kind of film you want to.
Yeah.
It's now, even The Matrix, there are hardcore people who wanted Matrix 4.
Really?
Yeah. Most people who are sane We're like, how terrible. Anyway,
well, they didn't even want to.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So anyway, Zoolander 2, it's a bag of ass. And I remember being angry enough in the cinema while watching it to take a snap, post it on the fucking Facebook and go, this fucking sucks. And everyone goes, yeah, everyone knew it would suck. I'm like, shit, I was the only one. There you go. Right.
Well, get ready because I'm bouncing straight to you because here's where I had Superman 4, Quest for Peace. Sorry, Superman 4, : The Quest for Peace.
Yeah.
I'll leave that whole pause in there.
Shit. All right, go on, asshole.
I also want to shout out here. Look, I have been doing the colon thing for a long, long time. You just haven't noticed. But the other person who does it is Joey from So Is It Podcast. He makes me laugh every time he does it too. So on you, Joey. It's very, very funny.
Both you and I should get that looked at.
Colon brothers.
Oh, now I like it.
Anyway, that's where it falls for me. And directed by someone, household name, Sydney J. Fury.
Mm, that's a cool name, though.
The dot's important.
Yeah, oh, you're a dickhead. I thought it was actual dot. You're an asshole. Well, God. Oh, God, I know what this shopping episode's going to go like now. You're a fucking prick.
I've had two almost strong beers. I might have one more, and then we'll really see how crazy we get.
Oh, I can't fucking wait.
That's back to you. You're number six.
Okay, my number six, everyone, is Teen Wolf 2.
I don't remember it well enough.
Oh, God, I do. Check it out. So, first of all, Teen Wolf, the Michael J. Fox one, right, was...
Give me a keg of beer.
Okay? All kinds of shit that you remember in that, all right? And also, he was Alex P. Keaton. He was... I don't know if he was Back to the Future guy. I think he was Back to the Future guy. I think after Teen Wolf was after Back to the Future.
I feel like Teen Wolf was just after Back to the Future.
I remember him doing... He did, like, High School USA, which is a piece of shit. And then he did Teen Wolf. And then there was this period where he was the biggest guy on Earth, all right? In the 80s, of course, right? Then he does Teen Wolf. It's amazing. Then we hear about Teen Wolf 2. And I remember the first thing.
Same year as Back to the Future.
Same year? See, he was on fire, this guy, okay? And he was the name. So now we hear Teen Wolf 2 is turning up. And I actually, can't wait to see that. Saw the trailer. It's not even Michael J. Fox. Immediate piece of shit fail, all right? Then I go actually say, I'll give it a try. This is Carbon Copy has moved things. So
it's not basketball. It's wrestling?
It's fucking boxing.
Boxing, right? Okay.
Which you think would be cool, but it's not. All right. Everything else is you swap out, like, you know, Scott for Todd. Todd is like the Jason Bateman character. Swap out basketball for boxing. Swap out, like, this chick named Boof in the first one for another nerdy brunette. All right. Her name was Boof. Yeah. That's right. You swap out one blonde bitch, Pam, for blonde bitch, Lisa. And then the only slightly original twist is that the coach in the film is aware of the wolf game. Like, he knows that the guy's a wolf because of some bullshit throwback. But the idea, and Scott
was his cousin or something?
Yeah. His cousin, his name, is a teen wolf, too. That was the fucking trailer, man. And Jason Bateman actually talks about this, and he says, I fired that agent. Teen Wolf 2 is the worst thing I ever did. And he said then right after that, there was just, he didn't get employed for like 10-15 years.
I love the fact that Jason Bateman was so traumatized by this film that he decided he would just play Jason Bateman for the rest of his career.
Yeah, when the wolf costume doesn't work.
I'm never acting again. I'm just going to be like,
Oh, you know what really pissed? Uh-huh. Absolutely. And then he said if it wasn't for fucking Arrested Development, that's the thing that revived his career, right? But the thing that really pissed me about this movie, and this is even in the trailer, right? There's a music number, cringeworthy as hell, all right, where the wolf sings.
There's always any music number is cringeworthy as hell.
Look, the end of This Is The End is a... But then it was actually the Backstreet Boys, so it's a bit different. This is the wolf singing, and he's saying, Do You Love Me? That Motown song, right? Now, here's the thing that pissed me off.
Do you love me?
Well, yes, the actual song goes, Do you love me? Na, 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 do na, na, na. Me? He fucked it up. He goes, Do you love me? I was like, I hate this fucking thing. I hate the whole fucking thing. So, yep. Yes, that's the one. So, you know, there you are. Teen Wolf 2. Now. Piece of shit.
Okay, yes, sure. You know what? Well, I couldn't get out of my head the whole time you were talking the last 30 seconds there. This is completely and utterly random, yeah. And I may yet cut it out.
That's cool, bring it.
Went to a trivia night on Tuesday night,
yeah.
And the Compare MC Trivia Master, what do you want to call him, he did this thing which you just did there where he's like, Team Wolf, two. Every time he got to question seven of a round, he would go, question seven.
I don't know. I don't know if it's giving a context or not, but I think that's hilarious. That, my friend, is an MC who's putting in the extra mile. The only step up from that is actually having effects on your mic.
Right.
Like you do.
Yeah, I could have done that, but anyway, I won't do it now.
Nice.
All right, my number six is, this is not Emilius Wayne, and why would it be? Because you've never seen this film, and you wouldn't watch it if it came out and bit you on the ass. It's Freddy's Dead. Colin, the final nightmare. Oh,
actually, Colin is quite apt in this series of films.
Oh, fuck this movie. Directed by Rachel Talalay. Fuck, this movie is terrible. Imagine everything that was cool about A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Slash good, slash scary, slash frightening. The idea that this thing can stalk you through your dreams and actually kill you in your sleep when you're unprotected and vulnerable, and then you die in real life. That's a really great horror premise, and that comes down to Wes Craven. It was his original idea.
Mm.
I mean, watered down so far by 1991, only 7 years after the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Six sequels in 7 years, which goes to show you what New Line Cinema, the studio that produced it, was all about.
Yeah.
Like, fucking cash cow. Boom, baby, let's go. Right? This film, literally two people die in the entire movie. It's a horror movie.
Really?
And it converts to... The whole gimmick of the film was it converted to 3D in the blue and red glasses.
I actually remember hearing about this.
In a big dream sequence where he dies in the last 30 minutes, give or take, of the film.
Yeah.
That was its claim to fame. It is a gigantic piece of shit. It is one of the least frightening, least cohesive. It just makes no sense. Even the whole, like, oh, he's killed every kid from fucking Elm Street. So he's just like chilling. He's like, yeah, he's like Thanos after he fucking snapped out half the fucking universe. He's like, yep, I'm on my fucking beach and I'm, no, oh, wait, there's a kid I need to kill still? Fuck, my work here is not done. It's so shit. It was infuriating as a fucking 15-year-old watching this movie.
I actually think
and
for
30 years later, I still want to kill everyone involved.
Horror fanboy like this makes you this angry. It's probably the... So did they do anything after this?
Well, they did. So what happened was Wes Craven came back.
Not that matters, but yeah.
Right, Wes Craven came back, but he completely changed it. And in A New Nightmare, or New Nightmare as it's called, right? Freddy Krueger now is like this horror entity which he tapped into to create Freddy Krueger. And it's coming back into the real world because he's given it voice and power through the films.
Really?
There's this meta take on horror films. It is.
They had nowhere to go.
So much. Exactly. This film dug a grave so deep it couldn't get out of it, so they completely reinvented it. It lasted one film, really unique, interesting take. I like A New Nightmare. This film, fucking garbage, and hence number 6 on this list.
Side note, Wes Craven almost directed Superman 4. I found that out in my thing. Can you believe that?
Couldn't have been a worse film.
Yeah, it couldn't have been worse. So, very nice. Okay, very cool. My number 5 is friggin' Blair Witch.
Okay.
2.
Up here. So right, I thought it might go higher because you said my most hated film.
It is my most hated film, but of all time. I don't enjoy talking about it.
In case you're not sure whether that's true or not, I think episode 2 or 3, we did the worst films of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure this was, if not your number 1, was very high up there.
Really? Yeah. Nice.
My number 5 is, again, very low hanging fruit before we get really personal in my last 4. Mm-hmm. Right. And I have very little recollection of this, but what do you do when you create this phenomenal idea of immortals battling down through the ages because there can be only one?
It's my number 4.
And the very end of the film, you have Connor McLeod, the Clan McLeod,
oh yeah,
striking the head from the Kurgan,
mm-hmm,
and becoming
mortal,
because that's the prize you win, ironically, by killing everybody else.
Yes.
Right? What do? You reinvent the wheel with Highlander 2, colon, the quickening.
For once, the colon was absolutely apt. I remember, this is my number 4.
They completely revamped it. So he's old and the ozone layer is just being destroyed. They've got some fucking big, huge shield over the planet. And I just like, it's got, it's the same director, Russell Mulcahy. He's an Australian.
They brought him back. Is it the same director? I thought it was a whole different thing.
Same director back. And they've had to reinvent a way of bringing Ramirez back, Sean Connery, you know, a Scotsman playing a Spaniard.
Yeah. That was the funniest thing ever.
Greetings, Highlander. You're called?
Like, are you Spanish? Yes.
And it turns out that both McLeod and Ramirez were exiled from the planet. So they
That's
give them this
what the problem was.
Otherworldly. And yet they don't remember nor reference this in the first fucking movie.
No, it became is it aliens or are they called? Yeah, they're aliens, aren't they? They're fucking aliens.
It's not magic. It's not magic anymore. They're just fucking aliens. They're basically supermen.
Yeah.
Who can only be killed by having their heads cut off.
Fly around and shit. On these little things and stuff.
It's
and that was weird.
So bad.
And then they made Connor McLeod the dude who invented like this anti-ozone layer technology that ended up fucking the whole world up. That was bullshit. This is such a piece of crap, man. Yeah, I remember. Well, I remember.
It's your 4, my 5.
I mean, it's just such a bag of ass. Virginia Madsen, though.
No.
Oh, come on. I love me some Virginia.
I fucking hate this movie. Right, so it's your 4 as well.
It's my 4, bro.
Anything else you want to say about it?
No. It's a piece of shit. You all know it.
My number 4. Here we go. We're getting very personal now. Right. My number 4. It could have been my number 1 so readily.
What?
The Matrix is a pretty good film.
The Matrix, okay, which one are you going to go with?
Reloaded. Though? I know that some people say, here's where it fucked up. Here is where it shat the bed. Here is where the film franchise derailed. But for me, and you, I believe,
yep,
We both liked Reloaded.
I like too. We saw it left.
Look, the action sequences in that film are phenomenal.
Do you remember what you said after that film, Paul? We walked out and you said it lived up to the hype. Those are the words you said. Well, and I went, I agree.
I actually remember seeing it. Maybe I saw it a second time in Adelaide with a mate of mine. But I saw it twice at the cinemas, which was unheard of to some degree back in those days.
Yeah.
But came to Revolutions ready to be blown away. Because with the exception of something like Empire Strikes Back, which is the superior film in a trilogy. The second film is normally the worst. They're bridging a trilogy from the first to the third.
I find the second one is always the dark one.
Yeah.
That's what I find. So yeah, sometimes it does. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
there's cool. going to be a bad ending. It's
that's
in the
right.
second
you
one.
Need to set up for that big one while still being
Exactly. Or the penultimate film will be the rough
Absolutely.
One. In the case of, say, Avengers Infinity War, right?
Yeah.
So Revolutions, I was just going to be amazing. Mm. You know, and they shot them back to back, which was, again,
which we all knew.
Not unheard of because Back to the Future had done that.
Yeah.
20 years before, but very, very rare. That's how much faith they had in this. Joel Silver had in this particular property. The Wachowski siblings.
Mm.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And then you go and see this complete and utter, so far stuck up its own ass, pretentious piece of shit with the occasional action scene, which never reached even close to the heights of one or two's action sequences.
Which was the freeway? Was Freeway in
two,
right? So it's all the, yeah, this was a talky fucking.
Talky. Whingy, whiny.
Who was that motherfucker at the end? The architect? Is that what he's called?
No, the architect was in the second one.
Was it in the second one?
And that was a weird note to go on. People hated that. And I hated that too. I think we all owned that wasn't a great. But I said, let's
the overall
just see,
the movie was better.
Let's just see where this goes in the third one. We'll give it a break if the third one nails it.
Mm.
And it didn't.
No, it didn't.
It dropped the ball so fucking far badly. And to have what goes on in that film go on.
The pressure on those, on the siblings, whatever they're called now, was huge. I do remember. It was like, this is. That was, in terms of entertainment, that was the most important thing at that time. What's the Matrix trilogy, like last trilogy going to be? You know, and it was huge. So, but yes, it was a bag of ass.
So disappointing. So shit. So bad compared to, even the second one, I will argue, so bad.
Did Neo save the world by saying, I love you? Is that what happened? Some shit like that?
Something along those lines.
It was something like,
I've never seen this film ever again. I couldn't bring it. I'm going to try and watch this movie again before the fourth one comes out at the end of this year, which it will come out because it's a Warner Brothers film, so that they are going to release it day and date, regardless of coronavirus.
So it's on. That thing's happening.
Yeah.
And Keanu.
Apparently it's, if it's not December, if it's not Boxing Day, it's like December 16th.
Carey Mulligan too? Do we know?
Not Carey Mulligan.
Carrie Ann Moss. Carrie Ann Moss, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure, to be honest. I know there's a whole new cast and whatever else, but yeah, Keanu's definitely back in some. And my goodwill for them from the first film is so genuine.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't care about Revolution.
There's no planet we're not going to watch.
You can just stop fucking at The Matrix and it's fine. You can leave it there.
It's better.
It's an ending.
It's most people say it's better.
So I'm prepared to see what they do with 4. But if they crap the bed again, I'm done. I'm not going to watch another Wachowski siblings film ever. You're on your fucking final notice, right?
It was Jupiter Rising. It was the
fucking Speed Racer.
You know what? I have a suspicion that Speed Racer is better than I think it is. I may watch it again one day. Just saying.
Look, you're gonna get enough out of me. I've got 1 and 2 on 4K. I'll watch those again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fucking buying Revolutions on 4K. Everyone can eat a dick. But I will watch it again nonetheless.
Okay, very nice. My number 3, people, is very close to my heart because it's Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And
I shot this one out as my 11th because
you
knew
I'd be here.
About it.
Absolutely.
100% agree otherwise. It was initially my number 2.
Let me just tell you, okay? Batman Forever, it's documented on this show that I loved it when I saw it. I loved it for a lot of years afterwards, and then I saw it recently, and I was like, oh, that's right, it sucks. But only because it didn't live up to the test of time, shall
I
say.
I stand resolute, motherfucker! Stood resolute, that's what that should have said.
Yeah, it was just a bit of a fucking, you know, it's one of those things, all right? I still enjoy and will always have the years that I liked that movie. All
every
right?
time we would talk about it and would shit on it, won't it be like,
bitch, please. This is true, okay? And Val Kilmer was going to come back for the last one, but then he decided to do The Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando because that sounded cooler. And it did sound cooler, it just wasn't, all right?
Or you could just argue he read the script and saw the writing on the wall.
Well, I think that, so first of all, we know that this is the Batman that's shit. It's got a bat card in it, like a bat credit card in it. It's got Uma Thurman in it. It's like, you know, Poison Ivy. It's really, really terribly bad. Joel Schumacher, for his part, owns. Oh, the freeze. Did you know that there was a rumor that Patrick Stewart was going to be Mr. Freeze?
Right.
And one of the writers said to him that if you look at the actual original script, all of the lines were very Shakespearean. They weren't like this punny fucking Arnold fucking shit at all. It just became that when Arnold wanted to be there. He got top billing, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Did he really?
Yeah, because George Clooney, when they picked him for this, he was doing ER, all right? So George Clooney, they say they got him for a song. Arnold was getting millions and millions and millions.
He would have thought, well, this is my big ticket. Fucking.
Absolutely, right? And
was this before or after From Dusk Till Dawn?
Before, man. This was his thing, I think. Oh, wait, no, I'm not sure. It was around 90, the time.
97 though. For Batman and Robin, yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Point being is that he was not the George Clooney he is today. But
well, here on the letterbox, it has Clooney first, Arnold Schwarzenegger second, Chris O'Donnell third, Uma Thurman fourth.
Now it does, but if you look at posters.
Yeah. Okay, right, yeah. Yep, fair enough.
So, anyway.
Certainly look at the poster, he's front and center, absolutely. And then Batman and Robin off to the side.
Yeah, so it's like that, see? But even Arnold Schwarzenegger actually suffered to play this role. He had battery acid leak in his mouth because they had to put a blue light in there for some reason. It was so bad. And Alicia Silverstone was called Fat Girl. It's a horrible story. It's rough as hell. Yeah. I didn't hear that. So, but yeah, like I said, it actually killed the franchise. Like it killed it. Until years later when Chris Nolan brings it back. That's like...
Yeah, it did. It caused a complete reboot of the franchise. And From Dusk Till Dawn was the year before in 96. So Clooney wasn't quite no one, but he wasn't a big actor. That was definitely a small film, yeah.
By the way, I watched this 3 times to try and like it and couldn't do it. So there you go.
Never watched it again since.
Bag of ass people.
A film which I have watched again and not that long ago, I think for the movie watching challenge, is my number 3. Now, again, you could argue this should be lower on the list because, well, the previous sequel in particular was garbage. Most people would say even number 2 was garbage. It's the 4th entry in the franchise. We've never seen a 5th.
Mm.
This is from 1987, directed by household name again, Joseph Sargent. I'm talking Jaws, colon, The Revenge.
Michael Caine?
Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
Oh, Lance Guest, Mario Van Peebles, and of course Lorraine Gary, who was the producer's wife from memory.
Was she the chick on the boat?
She was the woman. She was Brody's husband, Brody's wife in the first film.
Whom, according to this movie, the shark was targeting because he didn't like Brody's family. Sorry, the shark's family. Yes. The shark's family was targeting them.
The revenge. Because in the very first scene of this film, I can't remember if it's the older or the younger brother gets eaten by the shark.
That's right. And he's one of the Marcus Brody people. Yeah.
So and
the
they end up fleeing to the other side of the world, the West Indies or the Caribbean, I think.
And the shark
fucking follows them.
How long does it take a shark to change continents, Paul? Or seas? Like that?
I think that's less important than how does it know?
Oh, it's a shark, man. The shark had a vendetta.
Well, it smelt blood in the water, right?
Actually, not to support the idea of this, but... I've read things where they say that animals know things like when you're about to leave or when you come back or when you're
supposed. Dogs and cats maybe.
Well, remember that lion?
Sharks have never evolved.
Remember that lion that went into the wild and then the guys who raised it came back like 30 years later and for some reason the lion was there that day and it knew and there's a video. Okay, I'm just saying it's that. Let's face it, this movie's a piece of shit.
Yeah, look. I think even the fucking like this was a train wreck, and we all know the Michael Caine famous line. I've never seen the movie,
yeah,
but I have seen the house that paid for yep. or wherever it was in the holiday, blah blah blah.
Hey, so, Michael Caine crashed his plane into the water to save people from the shark. I thought he was going to die, but he didn't die.
This film is so fucking garbage that they couldn't even kill off Michael Caine's offsider Mario Van Peebles, who in the original cut of the film or the script of the film he gets eaten and dies.
Yeah,
but in the theatrical cut, pops out of the water and he's alive and like, hey. After he gets taken by the shark. A shark which is, of course, progressively bigger than every shark that's come before it.
And the first one was bigger than an actual fishing boat.
The first one was like 25 feet long. Right. Right.
This one was like actually a continent.
it may as well have been a megalodon or whatever the fuck
megalodon, yeah.
Megalodon, that's it. Look, we get a lot of shark attacks off our coast here by proportion. But you know, the biggest that I've heard them ever write about is 15 feet.
15 feet.
So this thing's 35 feet long. Come on now.
I mean, for a movie, I don't give a shit if it's 1,000 feet long. But
I'm just saying, it's so ridiculous. It's a piece of shit. And we, for a long time, had the talk that Jaws 5 would be the Quint story from the first film. You know, where they USS, I want to say Indianapolis, goes into the water in World War II.
Oh, yeah. They made that movie.
Yeah, they did. It was called Men of something. It was
Men of War, Men of Courage, Men of Miami.
Yeah, something like USS Indianapolis.
But apparently, colon, it was
Men of Courage.
Shut up, dickhead.
With Nicolas Cage. I've seen it. It's fucking garbage.
Okay.
But it's better than this. It's a lot better than this. Yeah.
Fair to say. Okay, very nice. My number 2 is this one, everyone. It's Basic Instinct 2. I mean, I don't know if you put it there. Was that the one you put out?
Low?
Low, slightly low? Okay,
very
fair
slightly
enough.
Low.
All right, good.
Again, low-hanging fruit.
Let me tell you something, Paul. I watched this again.
Oh, my God. Did you?
I found it.
I was going through my spare room. And wouldn't you know it, sir, I found a copy.
People, this is a film
4K
where...
4K Ultra.
Yo, let me tell you about it, right? Good old Catherine Tramell is now in the UK, and she's being accused of a murder of a football player who, like, she was driving with him, and she was driving in a car, and he was next to her, and he was, like, drugged out and stuff, and she said, hey, can you play with my fanny? And he did, and then, like, the car crashed, and then he drowned, and then she got him.
Who could say no?
Exactly. I mean, he was actually almost catatonic, but you'd still say yes, and he did. Now... The film then goes about, you know, instead of a cop, it's like this psychiatrist, yeah. Right? I thought that might appeal to Paul. Didn't?
Yeah, the tagline of this film was a psychiatrist who can't resist the danger.
I'm going to say this. It was called Basic Instinct 2, Risk Addiction. On the poster is what it said. That's what they called it. Because the whole theme of this film is that someone's addicted to the risk, motherfucker.
They've changed that officially. It's now just called Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, okay.
But I'm really glad you added the colon.
You know, I'll tell you what I find about this movie watching it the second time. Like, I skip through it. She had really shit hair. She had this feathered short front fringe. Very, very bad. Worst look for anyone ever. It was set in, like...
Oh, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
Oh, you think... Okay, that's a good question. So you think she's still the bomb?
Wait, she's not 1991 bomb.
But it's still the bomb, man. I'm looking at this shit, and I saw... I'll be honest with you. I skipped all the scenes where there's titties. But but also
therefore,
some plot...
watched it.
Well,
it's 114 fucking minutes, Paul.
I know. It's a talking movie, and it's got Charlotte Rampling in it, which I was very impressed about at the time, because she's a very, you know, like this British, very whatever actress.
David Thewlis
is in it, and it's so incredibly shit, and you know
and
what?
Flora Montgomery.
Hula hoo hoo hoo.
Oh, so I hope I can take you for a ride in that one, too. Oh, yeah, Flora. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no idea who the hell that is, but
yes. I'm really down the cast list on that one.
Yeah, everyone, all I can say about the movie is that it's just an incredible piece of shit and it's very, very boring. And I remember what happened here. Sharon Stone was in the throes of her career, all right? And she's like, no, I can still do this, all right? And I did look and see, are the nude scenes, like, you know, is there a lot of Vaseline on the lens? Not really. She was
48.
She looks fantastic. She looks fantastic, all right? You can tell. She looks better than I remember her looking because I was more impressed back then or whatever. But still very, very good. That's the only thing about this. She made this movie so she could show everyone her titties still.
Well, I think she probably made the movie as a bit of an empowerment thing. Like, you know, you
titties!
You can still be powerful and amazing.
Ah, look, she sold it that way, but I knew what happened. No one wanted to make this film. She did, and she had producer rights and credits and stuff. So it was like, well, we could probably make a million off this if we did this. And it's an existing property, so I see. I don't know.
No.
But she called a lot of the shots. Like, so, I mean,
maybe she's behind the scenes, but she's not got any credit.
Oh, you're right. She's not a producer. No, but I remember her talking about, I guess someone brought it to her and she said, I still want to draw titties. So, yeah.
I think that's what happened. I think someone said, not the titties part. I think someone said, hey, do you want to do this again and revisit this character? I think it'd be really good for you at this point in your career. And she said, okay.
P.S. titties.
But no one...
I'm sure no one said P.S. titties. Okay.
Much to my disappointment.
Apparently they didn't need to. Okay.
But it's everything the first film isn't. I think it's really important to say.
Yeah.
Like, the first film is sexy and mysterious and alluring and dirty and dangerous, right?
Agree. It's shot like that.
Yeah, it's a Paul Verhoeven film, right? Which, that's his fucking forte, dirty and dangerous.
Yes, and classy sleazy is what I call it.
There you go.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's sleazy, but it's classy.
Even better description.
And this is a British film.
None of the pedigree.
Yeah.
It had none of the flair. And the problem is, it has to work. The first film works in large part because the mystery of, is she or isn't she?
And I think the problem you really have with this movie is that it destroys any of that mystique.
The ambiguity of the first film.
Yeah.
Which is minor, but still. It's
No, you can still make this work, but shooting it in London or whatever, right? It's already got that color temperature, this blue color temperature. I would say that the previous one had a reddy, creamy color temperature. It was actually like sun.
It was San Fran.
Yeah, but it was warm, right? This one is cold. So now it's like you have to make that work in this environment. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it certainly wasn't done. So, it's kind of, ugh.
It looks terrible. It plays terrible. And the script is dog shit. And I don't care what, love him or hate him, right? David Morrissey is the love hate is for, yes, is no Michael Douglas.
He's no Michael Douglas. And there's a lot of
I'm saying, no, Michael Douglas, love him or hate him, Michael Douglas is perfect.
I'm not a Michael Douglas fan.
Perfect for,
because you
role.
Knew he's a bit of a,
oh, he's a player. He was sex addicted at that point, yeah, in time, yeah, in his, yeah, life. And it shows through in the performance, I think.
Yes,
David Morrissey is fucking Mr. Nobody. He's bland as fuck.
And he looks like a repressed, like, British person. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's very reserved. And the odd scenes where he yells and stuff, it doesn't even make sense. It's like, I don't buy that, you know? So it's like, yeah. Yeah. Basic Instinct 2 was such a piece of shit.
Yep. And of course, it did derail the franchise. Was it ever going to be on? I tell you what, even derails a franchise harder than that film, even though it is beneath that on my list.
Go on.
This is the final film thus far, although they keep banding around the idea of a number 6.
Oh.
Bruce Willis is a bit of a cunt, right? A Good Day
to Die Hard.
Holy shit, this
now,
film.
I confuse these, Paulie. This is number 5?
It's 5.
Does that mean the previous one was 4.0 with Timothy Oliphant?
Or Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Colon,
no.
Live Free or Die
Live
Hard.
Live Free or Die Hard. That didn't okay. mind that one. I didn't okay. mind that one. Yeah.
They made it PG, and this one, I can't remember if this one even is PG or not. I don't give a shit.
This is the one with Jai Courtney?
This is Jai Courtney, yeah. Franchise killer himself.
Yeah, that's right. Now, he was playing John McClane's son.
He was.
Grown up. So it's that kid we saw in Die Hard, the first one.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Come
fine.
Home. Oh, that was a daughter who said come home.
That's
who was
right.
in the fourth one. Who was.
Oh, she in the fourth one?
Yeah. Is it Mary Elizabeth Winstead? Is his daughter?
Yes. And then Justin Long tries to fuck her, but he's like, don't fuck her. But he doesn't actually try and fuck her. He's just the, yeah. Oh, yes. Man, are these run into each other for me? Good God. I can't believe I even remember any of 5. Please go on.
It is Mary Elizabeth Winstead. It's Lucy McLean. Yeah, and they do. It's officially now known as Live Free or Die Hard. I think at the time it came out, it was Die Hard 4.0, because that was all the fucking rage.
Yes, because it was all right. technology and fucking
Whereas
shit.
A Good Day to Die Hard is just this fucking piece of shit, buddy, throwaway, Russia of the bad guys.
Yep.
Completely, you know, every action film has a ridiculous sequence in it, unless it's played that way purposefully.
Yeah.
All right, see our Nobody review coming this weekend. This film just doesn't give a shit about physics, about laws of anything. It's just like, oh, you play by our own fucking rules, and you're going to get on board because this is John motherfucking McClane. Problem is, John fucking McClane is not on board, because Bruce Willis could give two shits.
It just looked like it, as I recall, right? Because I remember when he met up with his son, who was CIA and whatever. I was like, Dad, you, this, that, whatever. And it was, yeah, I don't know. He'd already started to phone it in by this stage.
This is the film where it went from being, I think that's what's happening, to it's fucking happening.
Yes, because there's a Kevin Smith account of, because Kevin Smith was in Die Hard 4.0, yep. right? And he talked about how, what a prick Bruce Willis was. And he was fighting with Len Wiseman, the director, to say, I can't believe you're getting John McClane to walk into this frame. You got to have people walk into him. And Len Wiseman was like, I set this whole set up so you can walk into the set. And he goes, I think it depowers him, man. I don't think so. I'm just trying to keep the Die Hard thing. I've been here since the start. I'm the only one. He was doing that shit. He cared about it. I think in this one, it's just like, fuck you. How much are you going to pay me? And the answer was obviously enough.
Yeah. And the poor bloke, John Moore, who directed it, just didn't have, no one would have the chops to rein in Bruce Willis at this point in time in his career, which is why now he's doing shit like Cosmic Sin. Check out the top 10 last 10
What's
coming
that?
Up soon.
Okay, really?
Oh, I think your worst film last year was that Hard Kill or some shit.
Oh, shit.
Very close. Like, Bruce Willis.
That was horrendous. I forgot how bad that was.
Stop fucking acting. Stop taking a paycheck. Do you really need the money?
Is it the idea that Bruce Willis is only good when he's not getting paid much? Like, he does like a, you know, the where's...
I can't imagine he's paid much for Hard Kill. Not that I've seen it. He definitely wasn't paid
but it was,
much.
But I reckon it was like it was like sort of 20 days on set kind of
or
thing, and
Breach.
You get 3 million. Yeah.
Fucking hell, these films.
he's got kids to feed.
but it doesn't. They're all fucking adults now.
Oh, he's got a newish baby with
Does
a,
he?
Yeah, with one of the women that he's currently
still
pounding.
College isn't that expensive.
No, it's not. It's
you just, have millions and trillions of anyway.
Nah,
enough.
That's his thing.
Enough.
That's
I'm
his
just
thing.
Saying, Good Day to Die Hard is complete and utter garbage, and I'm a little surprised it didn't make your list.
It was an honorable mention of mine. Yeah. I didn't offend me as much because I wasn't expecting it.
A lot of that going on.
Yeah.
All right, then give us a recap of your 10 through 2, Wayne, and then reveal your number one, which obviously hasn't been on either of our lists yet.
No, and so I think I know what's going to happen here. My number 10 was the whole 10 yards. My number 9, Superman 4, Quest for Flaps. Number 8 was Glass or Us. Number 7 was Zoolander 2. 6, Teen Wolf 2. 5, Blair Witch, Book of Shadows. 4.
Sorry, please.
Sorry.
Book of Shadows. colon. Blair Witch.
Colon, eat my ass. Number 4 was Highlander 2, The Quickening. Number 3, Batman and Robin.
It wasn't. There was a colon in
oh,
there.
Fuck off. So now it's going to be like, my number two is basically Kingsink colon two. And my number one is the one that I was going to do what you did and shop it out, but I just I want to talk about it, and I want to tell you, it's obviously Indiana Jones and the Killing of the Crystal Skull.
What now?
Don't do that joke! That joke was over the second you did it! Suck my dick! Yes, it's
I think I got a lot of shit like about whatever topic we did about 10 weeks ago where I put it on there. And so, you know what? Fuck you all. I'm going to take it on this time.
I knew that you might put it off for spite, but I just wanted to tell you about this.
That's
one.
Fine. Because I'm acknowledging that, fair enough. If I'm going to talk the talk, I got to walk the walk.
Okay. And that's fair enough because I almost didn't do this as well. But I did want to say to you that for the number four, because we keep hearing about a five and a six and a seven, right?
We hear about a five.
We hear about a five, right? I don't see it happening. Surely, I do not see
Come
that
on.
Happening.
I mean, and full credit to Harrison Ford for going Enough's Enough.
How old is he?
Too old.
Yeah. And this one, if it weren't for all the shitness, it could have been okay. He looked amazing. They were playing off the whole Jonesy, you know, we're too old, that kind of thing.
They're acknowledging it, which is good.
And then, but what they did with this one was that they...
But I still think they said it like in, what year was this set? Like 1950-something. Was that like 16 years after the last one? I'm like, that doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, there were still Nazis, but it wasn't quite World War II. Like, yeah, okay, I get that. Now,
was she Nazi or was she a Russian?
Oh, she was a Russian. Yeah. You're right. That's what they swooped for. Oh.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yo, here's what it is, right? They go and make Shia LaBeouf essentially introduced as the next Indiana Jones. That's what they did in this film because it was his son. He gets the hat, up, 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 all that shit. Now, Steven Spielberg, for his part, does actually say, look, George writes the film. And I understand why people don't like it. People really jumped at the Indy climbing into a refrigerator, getting blown into the sky bin. He said, you can blame me for that. Don't blame George. That was my silly idea. People start saying, jump the shark. They say, nuke the fridge now. He said, that's a thing that happens. Apparently, he said that. I'm proud of that. I'm proud I brought that to the popular culture. But that's what this movie did. The swinging with the fucking monkeys and all that shit. Yes. All right. He said, I didn't like the MacGuffin. He said, I'll tell you that right now. And I don't, because he made
it. But they wrote this script like 19 times over.
And Steven Spielberg said, I still don't like the MacGuffin, so I understand why you don't like it. It's the same as Highlander, where they had, Indiana Jones was always about the ancient times brought into, not modern day, but the 50s, 40s, whatever, right? And that, you know, how they connect with the past of Earth. When you start bringing aliens in, it invalidates the entire idea. It's shit. So yeah, my number one is Kingdom of the Crystal Ass.
Yeah, no, not knocking you at all. It's a great choice if I'd ever seen the movie.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, well then, there's no surprise. I've already mentioned what my number one is. So I'll give you a quick recap. Number 10, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. 9, Taken 3. 8, Spider-Man 3. 7, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. 6, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. 5, Highlander 2, The Quickening. 4, The Matrix Revolutions. 3, Jaws, The Revenge. 2, A Good Day to Die Hard. And my number one is Basic Instinct 2.
I'm glad that you put it on there, though. I am glad, because I was afraid it was going to be like...
I considered chopping it off just so we were talking about different films.
I understand.
And it's that... On the one hand, you don't give as much of a shit. I'll be honest, you don't.
Hey, Sharon has a lot of my cum that is a... she's responsible for a lot of that coming out. So that's not... I'm just as in as you, my friend.
The views of my lawsuit.
There are entire packets of underwear that have gone because of Sharon Stone, right?
Can't find it. Don't damn suck. Here's one. Oh, what? Oh, it's a bit rough. Yeah, anyway.
It's crusty sock as a motherfucker. All right, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I realize when it comes to voting, you don't give as much of a shit as
I do.
But I am aware we talk about this movie a lot, so I was going to shop it out. But so I'm like, if I leave that off, this is the most legitimately I've ever been.
I know. Sometimes you got to just do it. Yeah. You got to do it. I get
so
it.
I did. All right. So let's give some honorable mentions really fast. Sorry, dishonorable mentions real fast.
Hit it.
I have a lot.
Good.
You got any?
Bring it. I got tons.
All right. Go on.
All right. RoboCop 3. Frank
could have been either of the RoboCops, to be honest.
Two wasn't bad. 3, fucking hell. All right. Wall Sleep. Money Never Sleeps, but you will. It's fucking boring.
Never seen it.
Motherfucking. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I had the Die Hard. I had the American Psycho 2.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrible.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Don't remember enough of it.
Major League 2.
Oh, really?
I mean...
Well, we had another one, Back to the Miners.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
I didn't fucking see that one. I saw this one, Charlie Sheen was like all of a sudden like he's suited up and stuff. It was like, I'm a yuppie now. And I was like, okay. So
I mean, nothing could touch the first one, let's face it.
Did you see I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. First of all, the first one was crap.
I didn't hate that one because exactly, like the first one was terrible. The second one I thought was about the same.
Man, this all runs into the Final Destination, you fucking this, that shit.
You better not touch fucking Final Destination.
So you like some Final Destination?
All the Final Destination films, with the exception of 4, are good.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, you would know. You would know. You would know. That's fine. That's me. Hit you.
Batman and Robin.
Yep.
Indiana Jones in the film, which doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Independence Day, colon, Returgence, as Joey from the So Is It podcast.
I was wondering why that one wouldn't
be. It almost made the list, but it's just too soon, and it doesn't hurt me as much, because I didn't love Independence Day the way that a lot of people do.
Yeah.
That's why it fell off in the end. Ass. So.
Good.
Definitely. Transformers, colon, take your pick.
Every single...
Everyone since the first one has been garbage, but
the first one wasn't great either, if you ask me.
I don't mind the first one.
A lot of people don't, yeah.
But the last one, The Last Night, is so fucking bad.
That's the one where Optimus Prime was a baddie sort of at the end? Is that how it worked out? For one reason or another, he had to do some shit, and everyone's like, we got to fight Optimus Prime, and he's like... Wah, wah,
yep. Wah, wah. Yep, exactly. And it had Sir Anthony Hopkins back.
Oh, really?
Yep, and then it traced back to King Arthur.
Oh, no, yes. Shit. Really? I never saw like the last three.
Rings, the end of the Ring saga from 2017 is one of the worst horror films you'll ever see. Zoolander 2. Mm-hmm. The Hangover, colon, part 3.
I never even saw it because you told me it was such a bad
one. I'm making that one up.
Obviously, it doesn't matter.
Let's just decapitate a giraffe. Yeah, that's funny.
Really?
Funny.
Oh, my God.
And this is the gif I ran with all week, and I don't care what anyone says. The first Troll is not good, but Troll 2 is a travesty. It is one of the very worst. So bad it's good films. I know you don't believe in that.
No, I don't.
But it is god-awful terrible.
Troll 2.
Yep.
All right, man.
There we are. That's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call The Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
Do you know that's the only time ever that I've sounded okay in any song we've ever done?
Really?
When I'm doing the deep talk about.
You know I was singing over that, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
I don't know. Your talk about was good. Your talk about was excellent. Yeah. I love that word.
The Pop 10, ladies and gentlemen, is where we hear your feedback on the topic at hand. And we kick it off with top-level patron and moderator to the Facebook list community. Links in the show notes. David Powell. Number 3, Alien Resurrection. For that grotesque hybrid homunculus xenomorph, amongst other things.
Ooh. Wait, was that the Winona Ryder one?
Yeah.
I didn't mind it that bad, but it was shit.
I like that movie.
You like 3, though, motherfucker.
I do like 3 as well. Number 2, Jaws, colon, The Revenge.
Yes, fuck off.
And number 1, Rise of Skywalker. I hate almost everything about this film. JJ's petty fuck you to Rian Johnson at the expense of the viewer and the franchise. The entire Palpatine being back, the rewriting of most of the established rules about the Force is what the Force is and can do. Fuck you, Chris Terrio. Everything you touch turns to shit.
Completely agree. That movie is the worst of all of them. Worse than The Phantom Menace.
That's a really great call. Aaron Dundee said, number 3, Van Wilder, colon, The Rise of Taj. Number 2, Son of the Mask. And number 1, Caddyshack 2. All of these are a testament to the fact that if you have to replace the star or stars from the first film, the second film is going to suck.
How was Evan Almighty? Did you see that?
No.
Okay, yeah, okay. Good.
Smiley Salmani, good friend to ours. So number 3, Highlander 3, colon.
The 3? Quickening?
Look, Smiley, mate, it's 2.
It's 2, yeah, 2.
But so bad it's sort of funny. Number 2, Caddyshack 2 again. For a comedy, it makes for a great shit show. Dan Aykroyd is not funny, comma, period. I'll stop.
What's wrong with you?
Number 1. I'm just reading what he wrote here.
I know, it's funny.
One, The Exorcist 2, colon, The Heretic. I've never seen this one. Possibly the worst sequel ever made, just horrible. By the director, John Borman's account, the audience rioted on its opening night. It was so bad.
What? Oh, wow.
Holy fucking shit. Okay. Jonathan Lamb said, number 3, The Matrix Revolutions have got to be in there somewhere. The movie almost ruined the original for me. Ooh. Number 2, The Entire Hobbit Trilogy. I still can't bring myself to watch the last one because the second one was so bad. And number 1, Kingsman, colon, The Golden Circle. Everyone is doing colon in brackets. I'm not just reading this.
What? Are they actually writing colon?
Everyone.
Fucking hell.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Ooh, I thought you were just being an asshole. And of course you were. But
yeah, that's true as well.
You know what? That Kingsman was a good call. I hated it so much. I don't know why it didn't come up. Nice one.
Yeah, I can't even explain how disappointed I was with the sequel. The original was such a great Bond, adjacent, kinetic, and fun spy film. I even went to the Golden Circle's panel at San Diego Comic-Con and was electrified by the teaser at the time. Can you imagine how disappointed you would be if you had actually been there for that shit? Thank you, Jonathan. Nick Haskins from Nikolai's Kitchen said, Return of the Jedi. It's trash outside of the Vader / Luke / Emperor stuff.
Really?
Hot damn.
That's a huge take.
Avengers : Endgame? It's not even half the movie Infinity War is, and it drags on for an eternity.
But it was important, Nick.
Even if the third act battle was pretty good in most parts, Jesus Lord, getting there was the most convoluted heap of dog shit.
Oh, wow. Harsh.
And number three, Rise of Skywalker. In the wake of the absolute tantrums of Star Wars fanboys who threw a fit that Rian Johnson dared do anything but exactly what they wanted out of a big dumb space movie, Lucasfilm doubled down and said, they want fan service. The movie will go even worse than what we did in The Force Awakens and give them the most derivative bullshit nonsense of all time.
I agree.
And I edited that. That was a lot more from Nick.
I was just going to say, you are talking a lot.
Julio from The Contrarian said, I don't hate Spider-Man 3, but as a follow-up to the best Spider-Man movie ever, it's a hell of a letdown. And nobody's going to say it. Prepare yourself, Wayne.
What?
Prepare yourself.
All right.
You can't handle the truth.
So I will. The Godfather 2 is a bloated and overrated mess and not as good as the first one.
Hot take.
Holy damn.
The only hotter take than that is 3 is the best one. Yeah,
that would be ridiculous.
Everyone would have said 3, right? Damn.
I would have thought. Then there was some feedback for 3 being terrible. Toy Story 4 is not a terrible movie, according to Julio, except it's such a transparent cash grab with Pixar refusing to let their most successful franchise go even after a perfect ending. So,
4 was good.
Boo! Toy Story 4.
4 was good, man. And I don't even care for this franchise. And I'm like, you know what? They made it.
Paul Steed, also in the Facebook community, said, number 3, Jaws, colon, The Revenge. Why? How? But most importantly, what the fuck? Number 2, Batman and Robin. Rubbish, but Alicia Silverstone gets an extra star. She was lovely.
I thought so, too.
And number 1, Bad Santa 2. First mention of that. After such a classic original, to follow up with this was a travesty. It's a terrible piece
Billy
of Bob shit.
Thornton still, though?
Yeah.
Yep. But it just fucking sucked.
And Christina Hendricks in that one, I think.
And it still sucked.
Yes.
Jeez.
Kat over on Twitter said, number 3, Speed 2. Love Speed, but not even Willem Dafoe could save this one.
I don't mind Speed 2.
What Wayne basically said there, Kat, was...
It was Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Fart in your general direction.
Jason Patrick was perfectly handsome. He was about to ask Sandy to marry him, and then the bomb went off, and she's like, no, keep talking. That was a good moment. I didn't mind it.
All right, there you are. Number 2, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Yay, let's free all the dinosaurs so they can rip us humans in half.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Star Wars Attack of the Clones. I mean, do I have to explain why? Cough, Hayden Christensen.
Great show. Attack of the Clones is great. Damn. I own it. I told you, man. It's fine. Judy, Yoda.
A good mate from Shaking Not Nerd, said episode 7-9 of Star Wars. It wasn't even being specific. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Except it's a Paul. Except it, Paul. It's a thing, he said. We all cry when Indy died. What? He died?
Nope.
X-Men 3 started the train of shit X-Men films and continued to ruin fantastic characters. That's fair. John Amento from Pine Comics said Hot Tub Time Machine was a total surprise coming out of love with no expectation. The sequel was like getting punched in the taint.
Let me tell you something. I agree with that. But the first one fucking sucked too.
I didn't like the first one.
I didn't like it, man. Yeah, anyway.
Sorry, John.
That's cool, man.
Dumb and Dumber 2 was proof that you should just leave well enough alone. And Avengers : Age of Ultron was the exact opposite of the first one.
Is he writing Colin?
No, that one I
fucking yeah, I knew it.
However, Dell on Movies wrote Superman 4 : The Quest for Peace, Batman and Robin, and Jaws 3D. I know Jaws : The Revenge still came after, but this is the point where the franchise jump the shark. I like that one.
Okay, but fuck funny. You.
Not you, Dell. Fuck me.
Yeah, fuck Paul. Yeah. You are great.
Mike Seibert Radio Podcast said Transformers : Revenge of the Fallen isn't just the worst sequel ever, but it's also one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's loud. The plot is half-baked. The action is aggressively incomprehensible, and it's an hour too long.
Good Lord. I'm twitching.
Matt Bratt said, I'm just going with second films. Exorcist 2, : The Heretic. Number 2, Mission, : Impossible 2.
No, fuck off. You're an asshole. There was already one in there, you cunt.
That's what you wrote. You wrote your Mission.
Okay, all right.
And number 3, Highlander 2, The Quickening.
I'll get onto it at some stage.
Steve from the Everything I Loved from Movies podcast in Highlander 2, Batman, Robin, and Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. This one made me laugh a lot. Kobe Omenika said, Matrix bullshits.
Matrix bullshit? I don't get it.
Well, I think he's meant both the Matrix sequels.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe Revolutions, who knows.
Quick one, have you read about 80 of these? Have you read 80 or 200? I think you're around the 8,000.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Three more, shut up. Nerdrivet, patron of the show, said, thank you, Nerdrivet, said, number three, I still know what you did last summer.
Mm.
Escape Plan 2, although they still had an Escape Plan 3.
I've never seen
and
the
number
first
one, The Crow, first mentioned, colon, City of Angels.
Fuck you, but yes.
Gidget the first one, so good. From the Retro Cinema podcast. And now, Gidget's Fab Flick said, I'll go Highlander 2 because there can be only one. That's funny. That's good. The Hangover 2, What the Fuck, and Basic Instinct 2.
Boom.
And here it is, the last one. I've left the hottest take for last. Prepare yourself, Wayne, for this. Ashley Gorski from the Rabbit Ears TV podcast said, Star Wars, colon, The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, come on now, Ash.
What the
Come hell? On, Ash. I ain't not maybe be trying to get a brother's goat. Is that what you're trying? Because my goat's right here for you. All right, you got it. All right, you got it.
She knows it upsets me, that one.
What? She's gagging you. She's trolling you. She's trolling you.
Well, she did acknowledge that, but I think she'll now be doubling down. But no, literally, she ranked this as the lowest in the Star Wars films.
Wow.
I don't understand. I haven't listened to those episodes. I don't understand. We should watch them with Dan.
Okay, I'll come back on your show, Ash, if we talk about this, because I need to understand.
Okay, well, there you are. We have a special Wayne-Ashley crossover explaining, understanding the hate for The Empire Strikes Back. That is it for this week's episode 314 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews. Wayne, how do the good folk get in touch with us with their feedback on the show or indeed the topics at hand?
Google the Countdown Podcast and find all our shit. Or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can check out the Facebook listener community. Check out ccradio.com.au for not just ourselves, but also great podcasts like Comic Confidential and Believe. And finally, podbean.com, where we host the show. Do check us out. Wayne, what's happening next week then for episode 315 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews?
You know, everyone, Paul's getting married soon.
I am.
He's actually getting married in like, what? Is it a couple weeks now?
Are 2 weeks from recording.
2 weeks
by the time
recording?
This drops, it'll be less than that.
Okay. So in celebration of that, we're going to do the top 10 films featuring a wedding.
There's another patron requested topic.
Yes.
From top level patron, Geordie Davidson. Thank you, Geordie.
GD.
For your lovely, lovely suggestion here, which marries in nicely. Ha, no pun intended. Ah. For what's happening in my real life. Wayne is best man and will be putting together the speech and all that kind of
That's
shit.
That's right. A lot of writing going on this week.
As you would imagine. You know, I've also got to write my speech. So.
Oh, really? You haven't written yet?
Best get with that.
I've got themes and notes on my phone. I don't know how to make them into
it's
a thing.
It's always hard being the best man. The best man's speech has to be both heartfelt and comedic. So there's the expectation now on recorded.
And everyone. There's quite a moratorium on fucking racist jokes as well. Or dick jokes.
Amazing. And also probably not saying fuck or cunt or fun bags.
Or fun bags it out.
Fun bags out.
Scrolls it out.
Actually, sorry.
What about Furburger? Furburger's out too, isn't it? Okay, we're good. We're good. We're good. We'll find some.
Also, this word.
Bitches leave.
I was going to get everyone out of the hole with that. I hope Patsy doesn't hear this one.
She might. She might well do. Yes, that's what's happening in a couple of weeks. So we will be recording. There's going to be a couple of very sandwiched together episodes. So in lieu of that and the honeymoon. Basically, long story short, next week's going to be a killer. Top 10 films featuring a wedding for episode 315. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You're A, B, C,
Fuck
D,
off! You're an asshole!
Hey, this is so long! You're
Elemental
P, E, R, S, T, U, V, W,
everyone! Everyone hates you! I hate you! I hate you now!
That's all you have to do!
You know what? I'm going to do that as my best man speech, motherfucker! That's it!
I'm now going to go through Paul's life moments.
A, B, C, fuck you!
That's all you have to do. Yes. All right, we will catch you next time. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
See you.